Hi guys! Welcome back to After Class with Carissa. My name is Carissa. I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today I'm joined by my friend Aislinn.
Hi!
It is Monday, January 22nd at 10:03, and tonight's theme for our show is arguably one of like the best, most iconic, game-changing movies of all time. We are doing Pitch Perfect.
Oh my gosh.
There was no hype there.
No, like, there wasn't.
I was waiting for it. I was like, okay, Aislinn, you got this. Like, you're going to get like, go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there was nothing. It was just silence.
Warning. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so if you guys do not know and you are completely uncultured, please don't take that in a literal sense. Aislinn is going to explain to you what Pitch Perfect is, what the movies are. Are you ready?
I am ready. I think I'm ready. Okay, so Pitch Perfect is a trilogy of movies. There's also a spinoff TV show. It was not as popular, though. Haven't seen it. Anyway, it's basically the first movie is about Becca, and she moves to college. What's the college? Oh, it's like Barden? Barden University.
Yeah.
And she ends up joining an a cappella team. Was really desperate, looking for new people, and it's about this a cappella team, and they go through their like series of competitions. And in the first movie, their greatest rival is the troublemakers from that same university. And then there's a lot of like fun characters in there. We'll talk about that in a minute, though. And there's the second movie, and the second movie is. They're still in university.
It's like their, like, final year, like their senior year at
university.
Right,
yeah.
But Aubrey's already graduated, because I think it was mentioned, like, Aubrey in the first movie, she's like, I failed, like, this one class, like, seven times so that I could be a Bella.
That's so true. She was like, yeah, I failed this class so I could stay back and still be part of the team. And then it's still the Barden Bellas, and then they are against this, international group called Das Sound Machine. It's like a German group. And then there's also a new character introduced in the second movie, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And then the third movie is they are out of university, except for the new character who was still like in university. And then Aubrey, who is, we just mentioned, her father is in the military, so she gets them a gig touring with the military and being like their entertainment, and there's a whole competition with other groups, but they're not a cappella groups, just regular bands, to like play a gig with DJ Khaled. Yeah.
It is like, I'm upset. Like, I don't think it's ever going to get old. Like, every single time I watch it, I'm like,
never.
Oh, this is a masterpiece.
It's so good every single time.
Anyways, so the first song that you, like, the introduction song that you guys heard, we were literally, like, jamming out in the recording
studio.
It was so good. It was we were pumping ourselves up. It was awesome, though. Like, I feel like a lot of the times the music will play, we'll sit here, we'll listen, we'll wait, but no, we were dancing.
We were.
That is Don't Stop the Music by the Troublemakers.
Yes.
It's like Troublemakers, but it's treble because they're an a cappella.
Yeah.
Isn't that creative? The sirens are going off in the background. Do you hear it?
Yeah, I do hear it.
That's Waterloo. Anyways, so we can go into like the characters of the show first.
Yes.
So the main character is Becca. Mm-hmm.
Becca is played by Anna Kendrick.
She's grunge, you know? Like,
she is.
She likes music. She likes eyeliner.
She's a rebel.
She doesn't like people very much.
No, and she's very into her music.
Mm-hmm. Not very into Jesse at the start.
No, Jesse is like her love interest in the first movie. She makes a lot of like mashups with other songs, and they like incorporate that into their work. Yeah. The Bellas do.
It's like a record shop, isn't it?
But yeah, she works. Like, she, you know what? She works at the radio show at her university.
Whoa.
So what a coincidence. Like, what a coincidence.
I'm starring in my own movie here, guys. So then we have Chloe, and I don't know who plays Chloe, but she has...
I don't know her name.
She has red hair.
Of my head.
She's beautiful.
Yes, she is beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. And Chloe and Becca are a huge ship because they're like
they act so
like, weirdly gay towards each other the entire movie.
But they really do.
But they both always have boyfriends. But they're always flirting.
There's such a tension there, like it definitely in the first movie
and the third movie. Where, like, she pushes her up against the wall.
Literally,
her hands are literally on this girl's boobs, and they're like, "Oh, how did we get here? That's so weird. We're just hiding behind this bush."
I feel like it might have been unintentional in the first movie, and then they just went with it. Yeah. They just continued it.
Like, people wanted it, so they went with it. But I don't know. They kept her straight. So
that's true.
Anyways, next we have, like, maybe, like, I would say this is the fan favorite. We have Fat Amy.
Yes.
And why does Fat Amy call herself Fat Amy? Do you remember?
Because she said something about, like skinny girls are always calling that behind her back, so she might as well.
Okay, if you haven't in the Wordle, I'm sincerely spoiling it.
Oh, no.
She's, like, so tweak. Like,
oh.
B. I don't think I can
Yeah,
swear.
I don't know.
So, like.
No, it's Twick.
Yeah,
twig. Branch. Twig.
Twig.
Oh my, I'm like, what is twig? What am I saying right now?
Twig? I was so confused. Bees, don't say it behind my back. And, like, Aubrey is like, oh, like, okay.
Yeah.
And then she does, like, her little, like, mermaid dance in the ground.
Yes, she does. Yes.
So next we have Aubrey, who we've talked about a few times. Mm-hmm. Aubrey is, like, she's the leader of the Bellas.
She is.
But Aubrey, like, last year, like, threw up all over the entire stage. She has stage fright.
She does, which does not go well with performing, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but she's kind of, like, she's so bossy. And, like,
She knows what she wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, that whole time, she was, like, made out to be a villain in the first one, especially.
Definitely,
because of her personality type. So then we have Lily, who talks, like, really, really.
Yeah, she's really.
And nobody can hear her through the whole thing. Yes. I can't even, like, I can barely hear myself in this mic. I don't know if you guys are picking this up.
It's like a, it's like an ASMR. Almost, like, it's really quiet. That's crazy.
Actually, my mom told me once that when I did ASMR on here for, like, it was, like, literally less than 2 minutes. She's like, yeah, it did not sound good on the other end. It's like, it probably sounded good in the studio, but not on the receiving
Not at
end.
Home.
No. So Cynthia Rose it's another, like, this movie. When did the movie come out? Do you remember?
I don't know. That's a great question.
It is filled with jokes that would absolutely not fly today.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the best part. Like, I love this
movie. That's the best part.
Like, 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street. Like, the movies with those absolutely terrible jokes that would, like, absolutely not be okay
that were
now.
Like, okay in the, like, early 2000s but wouldn't go now. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, I like Mean Girls has so much of that.
That's where, so true,
like,
yeah.
There's so many jokes, like, if you made that now they'd be canceled. Mm-hmm, like, in a
definitely
second. But no, so Cynthia Rose has the line where she's like, she's, like, in the minority in, like, three different ways. So she
right
goes, she's like, I'm black, gay, and a woman,
right? Yeah. And yeah.
Cynthia Rose has, like, literally the best voice ever. Like,
she's
one of my favorite
really, like,
characters
voice
wise.
Yes.
It's so pretty. Oh my goodness. And we're gonna hear one of her songs really soon.
She doesn't get a lot of screen time in the first movie, but I feel like
it picks up.
Nobody does really in the first movie except Becca. Cause it's really focused on her, but I think it spreads to the group in the second and third mm-hmm. movies because, like, everybody loved the group and yeah.
It was like, oh yeah. I'm so excited to go further into that too. So next we have Jessica and Ashley.
They're so funny. It's because they're, like, not relevant to the plot at all, and it's just, like, they needed a certain number of people for competition or something. Yeah,
they're just there, but nobody knows which one's Jessica and which one's Ashley. And then they ask them in, like, I think it's the third movie. They ask the girls, it's like, which one of you is Jessica and which one of you is Ashley? And they both go, I'm Ashley.
There was one part. Where they mentioned, like, oh, Jessica and Ashley. And then there was a part where they were like, did they say our names? No, don't be stupid. Like, that was so funny.
I think that's in the second one,
isn't it?
I think, yeah. Oh, they're, like, it's just, like, comedic relief. But it's so funny because they're, like, completely ignored the whole
thing. Yeah.
It's like, and then we have Stacey. Now, Stacey's main thing is that she's hot.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Stacey's hobbies include
cuticle care and E-Network. Oh my gosh. And then she's not really in the third movie a lot because she has a baby
Yeah, I know, but, like, You know, they could have brought the baby. Like, they could have
Can I spoil it a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the third movie, she's not there because she has a baby, but then the group is in Europe or, like, a bunch of different countries touring with the military, and she has her baby girl, and she names it Bella, and that's so... I loved that part. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It was, like, that part was adorable. I do wish she was, like, there more. Like, I wish we got, like, at least, like, a singing scene with her.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
agree.
You know, like, who cares if she just had a kid?
I don't know if the actress was pregnant in real life, maybe, or something.
Or, like, she just couldn't be
like
there.
Like, a scheduling conflict or something like that, yeah.
But I'm glad they incorporated, like, I'm glad they didn't write her off completely.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Like, some other characters who we're gonna get into in a little bit, who were completely written out of the third movie for no reason, and it changed the entire plot. What?
Yeah.
Next, we have Flo. Now, Flo appears in the second movie, and she is an acrobatist who was, like, an immigrant or, like, a refugee from...
something like that,
Guatemala.
Yeah.
Like, her brothers tried to, like, sell her for a goat, and she makes jokes about that all the time.
She casually drops these jokes, like, throughout the whole movie and
like,
everything.
How they were so ungrateful for, like, being in this free country because she grew up, like, absolutely, like... Anyways.
Like, it's comedy, but it's also like it's true mm-hmm. like, oh, we take it for granted, but it's also like presented in a comedy way. Yeah.
So, and then finally we have Emily. Now Emily appears in we have a segment that we're gonna do on Emily in a little bit. Emily's a little bit of a controversial character.
She's
played by Hailee Steinfeld.
Yes.
Who, like, absolutely love her, she's awesome, but
The character is just, she's a bit annoying. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I liked her at first, and then she just does not.
See,
the character development isn't there.
I love Emily in the third movie.
Yes.
She's
not really in it a whole lot, though.
Yeah, but she has some really good singing roles in the
third one.
But, and she, like, when she, like, motivates them all to, like, go mm-hmm. to the party is a disaster, but, I mean, she got them there.
Yeah,
so,
true.
But no, in the second movie, there's a little bit of conflict, but we will get into that. So, the first thing I want to talk about quickly is the riff-offs. And if you don't
know,
the riff-offs is, like, a little competition where you get a category and you have to, like, match the song. So, you sing the song and another group has to match one of the words in the song and sing, like, a new song.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep going with songs in that category. If you can't match the song and if you, like, mess up the word or something, you're out.
Yeah, there's also, like, other rules. Like, it has to stay on tempo or something.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Like, the same.
It's so complex.
My brain could not
do
that.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
Like, mm-mm. And so we are going to actually play the riff off from the first movie for you guys if you want to hear it. I mean, you don't really get a choice.
You don't get a choice.
And we're going to play it. So we will be back right after this. Alrighty, we are back. I can't. Every time I listen to that, it's literally my favorite thing in the world. A few things. Oh, we're going down. Let me tighten this mic up a little
bit. Got mic problems.
So, do you remember the categories for this one? It started with, wasn't it Ladies of the 80s?
It was Ladies of the 80s.
And then Songs
about
Sex. Okay, so.
I think those were the only two they used, but there were, like, more on the wheel.
There was, like, a huge wheel of them.
Yeah.
So, the break in this one was, like, if there was a break at one point when the songs didn't line up, and that was because it was, like, a category change.
Yep.
And then, the other thing, the Bellas ended up losing, even though they technically should have won. The song that, like, for the last one, they were supposed to match the word it, and they sang
yes.
it. So they added the S, so it didn't mm-hmm. count, so they lost. And, like, Aubrey goes, I never heard that rule. Okay.
No.
The other thing, I really hope this isn't one of your, like, fun facts. Asen has some really fun facts.
I have five fun facts for tonight.
And I'm going to say this, and I hope it's not one of yours.
Go for it.
But the person who wrote S&M.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay. So it was actually Cynthia Rose. The girl who plays her wrote the song S&M for Rihanna.
That.
Yeah. It was her song. She wrote it for Rihanna. And, like, when she got to sing it in the movie, which was really cool. Also, oh, did you guys hear Cynthia Rose's riff in the middle of the last song?
Yes. Chris, turned up the volume a little bit so you could hear it clearer.
We played it, like, 3 times this morning, too, because I'm obsessed with that part of the song. Like, it is so good. Anyways, so that was the first riff off. There's one in every single movie.
Yeah.
I don't have them all in this playlist because I didn't pull up the third one. Okay. I don't know if you're going to agree with this, but I think the second one's my favorite, and then the first one, and then the third one.
Okay. Yeah.
Other than, like, the very, very end of the second one, when our favorite, absolute wonderful, most Emily completely ruins it and sings an original song.
One of the rules of the riff-off is there are no original songs.
And it doesn't fit in the category anyways. It was, like, songs from the 90s or something.
It was something like that.
Like, hip-hop in the 90s or whatever.
Yeah.
And she sings her own original song that doesn't even fit the category. And, no, it just, like, maybe she got scared, but sheesh, it did not work out. And, like, everybody was like, you know what? They were kind of mad at her. I love, like, Fat Amy, too, like, absolutely rips on Emily in, like, the entire series. It's so funny. But Emily, like, completely, like, ended that riff off. The Bellas never win. Like, that's the thing.
That's, like, true. They're, like, the underdogs, though.
Yeah, no. They always do well the whole time, and then they never win.
Yep.
But, how long's the... Do you see it? I don't think I put the second one in.
I don't know what you're looking for. I don't think it's there.
I don't think it's there either. I guess we're not going to listen to the second riff off, it's guys. Okay. You got a nice little taste of it, though, in that first part.
Yeah.
The first one? Okay. What about you? Which one's your favorite?
No, I agree. I think I like the first one. I don't really remember the second one that much.
The second one, they do Country Love, Dated... John Mayer, and the Bellas sing We Are Never Getting Back to We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together by Taylor Swift.
Okay, I see. It's your favorite. I like the first one. I think I would do them, like, in the order of the movies, one, two, three.
The third one, the problem with the third one is that the other teams aren't a cappella groups, so they're using instruments the whole time. So the Bellas are getting, like, they literally have to scream because nobody can hear them, and all the other bands aren't taking them seriously.
And then they walk away and they take the one. They're like, "You guys use your instruments. I guess we won."
It's just kind of awkward. It's like, "You cheated, so we won. Like, you're out."
Yes.
And they did cheat. So, like,
it's true.
But, like, no, I do love from the third one, though, when Becca sings Human.
That is a good moment.
I added that song to my playlist because of that. I don't remember who sings that song, though. Do you?
No, it's on the tip of my tongue. I don't remember, but I think, like, Anna Kendrick.
Is it Christina? What's her name?
Christina. I want to say Perry, but I don't think that's.
No, I don't think that's right either. I don't remember who it is.
I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking about that earlier, and I was like, Anna Kendrick has such a nice voice for that song. It's just so, like, kind of elegant in a way.
And it's like. It stopped the instruments, too.
It did.
Like, they stopped playing when she started.
And it just, like, brings down the mood and just focused on her. But I think if I could take someone's singing voice, it would either be Anna Kendrick or Amanda Seyfried, who plays Sophie in Mamma Mia. It would be one of those two.
Oh, my God, I love her.
Because they both have such gorgeous voices. Yes.
Oh, that's hard. That is such a hard thing to think about. That's
crazy. I've thought about it. I already knew.
Oh, my God. Maybe Renee Rapp.
Yes. Maybe Renee Rapp. She has a good voice. Yeah, she does. It is strong.
Like, it's a theater voice. Or I like Olivia's. Or, like,
Rodrigo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, Gracie. Oh, but Lana Del Rey can do some really nice stuff,
too.
That's
true.
Like, but you need the songwriting to pull off Lana Del Rey's voice.
Yes, you do.
That's crazy. I think Amanda Seinfeld? Is that how you say it?
Seyfried.
I knew it was like S. Mm-hmm. It's like S-E-I, and it ends with a D. Hers is a good choice. Ooh, I like Meryl Streep in, like, Winner Takes It All, though.
She does do a good job
that's
of that
like
song.
That's, like, really, like, that's so powerful.
I'm going to ask you, and you haven't. Have you seen Les Mis? Like, the movie?
No.
Okay, well, Amanda Seyfried is that, and she plays Cosette, and she... like has such a gorgeous voice in there. Like I like we're getting off topic, but anyway, anyway.
Oh, sorry. I think you're good. You.
We're playing footsies under the table.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about the riff-offs.
The riff-offs.
Yes.
I can't remember the other category. They start because songs about butts because the troublemakers.
The second one.
The troublemakers get eliminated first because Benji sees Emily and he's like absolutely
yes.
in love. So he starts. He's like. Like courtship and chivalry. I'll take her to a nice hot meal and I'll take the waiter. And it's so awkward. It's so bad.
Can we talk about Benji for a minute?
Let's do Benji.
Okay, you go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Benji, I'll just explain. Benji is Jesse's roommate. Jesse was the love interest and he's really into magic. He's kind of geeky. He's kind of a little weird. He's a little quirky.
He's got his whole room decorated like magic in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yes.
But let me tell you, this man can sing. Like
yes,
he can sing so beautifully. And in the opening scene, which is Since You've Been Gone.
Yes.
He does it.
Oh my gosh.
It's
the
so
ending.
Fantastic.
I think we need to play that next.
It's not in there.
You didn't add it?
No.
Yes, it is.
That's not the version with everybody's voices.
No.
That's only two people singing it.
That's
not
so
available.
Disappointing.
You can only find it like on YouTube. And I don't think I can play YouTube through here.
I don't know. We'll try that out for next time. But okay, Benji, okay, the actor who plays Benji, his name is Ben Platt, and he is so, so talented. Okay, so he's been on Broadway, he's been in movies, so he was in Pitch Perfect.
He was on Broadway, too.
He was on Broadway.
That's
he started
crazy.
Out on Broadway.
Oh,
he's a theater
okay.
kid.
He's
a theater kid. It's a win for the theater kids today. So he just was in a movie called Theater Camp. It's on Disney Plus. It's really funny. It's kind of niche, though, so if that's your thing, then I would watch it. But he has such a good voice and he can belt and he has a really good range and he has original music and he has two albums out and the first one is my favorite. Every song on it is good in my opinion, in my humble opinion. I'm fangirling a little bit. I've seen him live twice in Toronto. He is so talented. Like you think he sounds good in Pitch Perfect, he sounds so much better live. Like it's
That's
unbelievable.
Like not a lot of artists can do that too.
No,
where they sound
like
better live.
He's one of them. Like, he is such a gem. Like, and he's not super well known. Really, you should check him out. Everybody should go check out Ben Platt right now.
Ben Platt. What was the other movie that he was in that was, like, a musical? It was the one about, like, his, like, best friend died or something.
Okay, that's Dear Evan Hansen.
Dear Evan Hansen.
I have not watched the movie for that one. I don't want to.
I heard it's sad.
The musical, I've seen the musical. The musical is really, really good. And he originated that role on Broadway as Evan, as the main character. Really, really depressing. Really, really good. Okay. I have not seen the movie. I've heard the movie does not do it justice. So I'm staying away from it.
Away.
Yeah.
Aislinn is like, she's a theater kid. Like she watches.
I know my stuff. I know my stuff.
No. Oh.
I've been trying to convince Carissa to do like a movie musicals night, but she hasn't seen them. So I think I need to expose her to them.
Mamma Mia.
Yes.
And a bunch of Disney musicals.
Yeah.
And Wonka.
Wonka.
And
shout out to my sister. She loves Wonka. She's not listening, but she
rude.
Wishes she was.
That's rude. She
it is rude. She should be listening. She's busy, I guess.
I don't know. That might be it. I can't remember.
It's okay. Next year, we're living together, and she will be watching a lot more movie musicals.
I'll do better,
I promise.
I'll do better. We're trying to go see Mean Girls. We were
yes.
supposed to see it last week.
I haven't heard good things about it, but I still want to see it.
Because
Renee Rapp.
Yes.
Renee Rapp
makes
yes.
it worth it. Anyway, so Benji... In the movie, he is so good, and I feel so bad for him because the troublemakers are like they're cool guys, and they just absolutely make fun of him. And Jesse,
they're not very nice
Jesse
to him.
Didn't even want to audition in the first place. He did it for Benji because Benji was interested in it.
I forgot about that.
And Jesse makes it, and Benji doesn't, and Benji's so sad.
And Benji is so talented.
He's just shy. And he was like, wow, like singing gives me so like he's
performing
just a little bit,
live gives me such a rush.
He's just a little quirky, and they hated him for it, and it was not okay.
Mm-hmm.
They were so mean to poor Benji. But at the end, he gets his, like, it actually makes me really sad that the one time that Benji gets to be on the team, the Troublemakers lose for the first time to the Bellas. But the Troublemakers had to lose to the Bellas because, like,
it's true.
The Bellas were the main character. Get that
redemption, yeah.
But Benji was finally in it and they lose. I'm like, okay. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And plus, I really liked the Troublemakers' performance for that too. So, like,
it was good.
A lot of people will argue that theirs was better and they should have won.
Yeah.
I think I still like the Bellas' final performance better though.
Not
in the second movie though. We can talk the about that.
Movie, yeah. But the, like, okay, the third one? Movie though, that was like no. Okay, well, no. Wait, the second movie, yes, you didn't like that.
The like clapping. Where they do all the clapping at the very end, and then they bring out and they have, like, a whole group flashlight thing. No.
No, that's such a moment.
No, it was not a moment. Yes, it was. And not a moment.
It was, okay, it was, like, an international competition or something, and you had all these generations of Bellas come on and sing the same song, and it was so good.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
It meant something, though.
Yeah, it meant something, but they sang Flashlight.
Yeah, it was an original awkward. Song, and that was, like, that was revolutionary for a cappella groups.
Yeah, but like Da Sound Machines was way cooler.
I didn't like their style.
See,
I think the Bellas, I think it makes me biased because like I like the theater music, but I think the Bellas have such a like a genuine vibe to their music, and Da Sound Machine just has a lot of like
it was very repetitive.
Yes.
I can say that. Like it was they did not like do anything creatively. Like it was the exact same. But I do like I don't know why I didn't love the whole flashlight bit with all the generations. Like maybe if it was a different song, I would have liked it more.
Maybe.
But
you didn't like the song at all?
I couldn't get with the song. No.
Oh no, I did like the song when it came out. Like I liked it.
Mm-mm. See, it was okay. Also, like Snoop Dogg was in that movie.
internship with Bella. Yeah.
I don't like.
No,
don't,
Becca. Oh my gosh.
Becca. I don't know if they needed like a celeb to like promote it, or maybe he wanted to be in there. I don't remember.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Anyways, so, is there anything else like more to say about Benji? Benji and Emily are kind of a thing in the second.
They are, yeah.
And then,
is Benji in the third movie at all?
No.
No.
I don't think so either. Benji was not. You know who else wasn't in the third movie? Jesse. Jesse, the love interest. Jesse, the never leaves Becca's side. Jesse, the fixes Becca for the better. Jesse, the other half to Becca, disappears. Apparently, they broke up. No, that's a lie.
Yeah,
they literally
didn't. I was
disappointed
with that.
And then they like stick her with some other guy because like she has to have a love interest. And like she literally spends the whole time telling this guy that he looks like a turtle. And by the way, she's right.
Oh my gosh.
And like Jesse literally would never. Apparently, I think they said that he like cheated on her or something.
It was something like that.
He would have never.
Like they
done
made
that.
You not like him, but it was out of character.
Mm-hmm. Like it was unbelievable. Like it was like not unbelievable as like wow. Like it was unbelievable as in like we don't believe
you. Were like,
you.
No,
like you're lying.
That didn't happen.
Mm-mm. Anyways, we're going to. Do you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
We're okay. We can play. Do you want to start with Cheap Thrills?
I would love to start with Cheap Thrills.
So they sing Cheap Thrills in the third movie when they're on the tour, but they get interrupted by like the national anthem playing or something, and everyone laughs.
Oh my god,
what's
it's called like taps or something like that.
Anyways, the song before that is going so well, and it is, I think it's probably one of my favorites.
Yes, it is. Pay attention. There's this one part where Anna Kendrick just goes off with the riffs, and it's so good.
Honestly, Emily has a couple, like, really good, like, solos in this song, too.
Is Emily in this song?
Yeah. Emily has, like, a few, like, the parts that are, like, just
her. Oh, my
gosh.
I don't know why. I totally forgot that Emily was, like, in this movie.
It kind of overlaps. Well, yeah, Emily comes in because she's like, guys, I'm invited, too, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's probably why I forgot. Because you wasn't invited.
They're like, oh, Stacey's out because she's having a baby. So, Emily, you're in. And Emily's like, wasn't I always in?
Yeah. They're like, oh, I guess.
Definitely.
Okay.
So... Emily and Becca's parts kind of overlap in this movie.
They do.
So, like, Emily starts and then Becca, like, takes over in that area. So, we will play it and hopefully you guys love it as much as we do.
You will.
This is top tier.
This is
top tier quality.
This is a really good one.
Like, the things you hear on the radio, like, this tops it. Like, this is the best. It does. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. Here we go.
Oh my gosh.
That was crazy.
That was so good.
Oh my goodness. Okay. No, top tier. 10 out of
10. Definitely, definitely.
Literally. Okay. One of the other things that I absolutely love about being in the studio is that the headphone quality is
it's so good in here. It's so crisp.
So, like, however good that you think the song is,
it's
like,
better here.
It's, like, it's way better here. Like, oh my god. Whenever I play the music in here, I'm just, like, absolutely flabbergasted because it is so much better with these headphones on. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll be, like, listening and I'm like, whoa, like, this is not how I've heard it at home. Like, this is insane.
Yes, it's true.
An example of that was when we listened, there was the show before the break when I didn't have any guests on, I played, like, Will You Cry by Gracie Abrams,
right,
and
yeah,
Mystery of Love. I cannot remember who sings Mystery of Love, but it's part of the call. I don't know how to pronounce the name.
It's like Sefton Stevens or something. Stevens. I don't know how
it's
to pronounce it.
It's definitely Stevens at the end.
Yeah.
It's like S something Stevens, I think, right? But it's Call Me By Your Name soundtrack. Mystery of Love sounds so good in these headphones.
I bet it does.
Oh my goodness. It is crazy. I don't know why I said that like that, but that song absolutely eats. Did you guys hear that? Did you guys hear Cheap Thrills?
Like the riffs, oh like my so God. Good.
Like, her rent was due.
It
her
was. Rent was due.
Like, what's the saying? Where it's like,
they said take five, she heard change lives.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They said take five, she heard change lives. She did. That's one of my favorites. Oh my goodness. That is from, like, the third movie. And a lot of people really hate on the third movie because it's so different from the other two.
It is, but I think if you were to continue the same thing, people wouldn't like it as much. I think it needed to have a different thing.
It needed, like, a new plot. Plus that you couldn't, like, hold them in college for longer. Like, they were older at this point. It had been a few years since the last movie. They were all older, and they were all in senior year in the one before.
That's true,
so, like,
yeah,
you really couldn't push it any further.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, so many people give so much crap about this movie.
It's true.
This has some of the best productions of the music, like, some of the best songs from the entire series. Like, I would argue that Cheap Thrills is top three.
Yep, definitely.
Like, 100%. That is crazy.
It's so good.
This is one of the ones too that gets Becca really recognized, like, on their radar to get that, like, internship
with DJ,
like,
Khaled.
Mr. Turtle Guy is doing some snooping.
Mr. Turtle Guy
sticking his head out of his shell and kind of looking at Becca.
Oh my,
like,
gosh.
Hello, who's that? That's literally, like, tell me
you're
that
right.
That's not,
no, you're
like,
right. He's like, sticking his head out of his shell.
He pokes his little head out and is like, huh, her, you know. Anyways, So we talked about the audition. I'm going to delete things from my notes. We talked. Okay. Oh, did we even talk about the audition scene?
But since you've been gone?
Yeah.
A little bit.
The audition scene is fantastic.
In the first movie.
And my friends and I actually, like, recreated that at our leadership camp. And my friend Nick, he's probably not listening.
Shout out to Nick. You're not listening.
He's a hater. But he played, like, Fat Amy, and he absolutely killed it. Another thing about Fat Amy is that my cat, I love her to death. I love her so much. She's a little old now. But my cat's name is Amy, and she's so ridiculously fat. Like, this cat is overweight, and she owns it. Like, my sister, too, like, feeds her so often keep her chubby because she likes the way she looks. But no, it's like, it's so funny because her name is Amy and she's really fat. She's our little Fat Amy.
I love that.
Oh my goodness. But no, so we did the riff off. I don't think I had a specific character. I think I was just, like, a bunch of background characters because I kind of organized it.
Oh, okay.
So I gave everybody else, like, the characters that they wanted, and I was like, I'll take whatever. Like, I'll
doing
take
like
any of
zoom,
them.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
I did the one where, like, the guy, like puts his hands in front of his face.
Oh,
like, it was cool, but it was all
pretend.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Okay, who should have won? I still think it should have been Bella's, and then, like, I liked that the Bellas won. I was happy, but, like, Da Sound Machine was better. Unpopular opinion. And then at the end of the third movie, that performance.
Hello.
Oh.
Whoa. Okay. Let's
look. Your mic did not like that you said Das Sound Machine.
No, it just like dropped. It just dropped. Like it didn't fall on the ground. The like tightening thing just like
it just flipped.
Like it just flips down.
That's what you get for saying the Bella should not have won.
I'm sorry. It's just the truth. Anyways, I loved the end scene with Bella in the last movie when she's doing, like...
That was really
when
good.
When she was chosen and she brings up everyone. Like, yes. I get chills when I watch that still.
I love that one.
She, like... They only chose her for the internship, not the whole Bella
team.
They
did, yep.
And it was, like, she goes on to do something further than the Bellas for herself. And everybody's kind of going their separate ways. And Bella starts doing her performance. And she, like, brings up all the other Bellas on... Or Becca does her performance. And she starts bringing up all the other Bellas on stage to, like, sing
with
her.
That's a really good... So beautiful. Adaptation of that... cover of that song.
Yeah, I was about to say, they picked a really good song for that, too. Like, that was... How does it go again? Oh my God! Because it was like
close to not make the man.
All we had to do. Yeah. It was like there was something in the song about like being a team or something. I can't remember.
I think you're right.
And it was like it brought them like it wasn't just like a random song like Cheap Thrills. Like it was a song about like being together and everything. And it was so moving and adorable, and I loved it. Okay, Aislinn. So, I heard through the grapevine that you had some facts that you wanted to share.
It's true. I have five fun facts.
I have not. I haven't heard these yet. So, this is a surprise for me as much as it is for you guys.
Okay. I have five fun facts. You might know some of them already. Because I literally just looked up fun facts about Pitch Perfect. So, they might be well known. Some of them I didn't know, though. Some of them I did know. My first one is that it was, like, loosely based off a book.
What?
Yeah, so...
There's a book?
There's a book. I don't think the title is the same. I think it's similar. It's a totally different plot. How? It's not the same plot at all, but it's the same concept of, like, a cappella groups in college.
How do you put that into writing? Like, you'd have to write it up. Like, that would be hard.
Because music is so, like, heavily important in the movie. That's a really good question. I'm gonna like search out the book. I don't know if I want to read it though. My second fun fact is Adam Devine, who plays Bumper.
I love Bumper.
When he went to the casting, when he went to his audition, he thought, do you know this one?
This is a good fact.
He thought that because of the title Pitch Perfect, it was a movie about baseball. So he went in, no song prepared, no nothing, and he ended up singing the Full House theme song, and he got the part with it. Like, no preparation at all.
So they were like, do you have a song? I've seen that skit so many times.
Did you
times.
Really?
Like
yeah.
Like, when he's on stage doing, like it's like a
oh,
talk
it's like
show
a stand-up or something?
Yeah, it's like a stand-up. And he's like, so I stood there, and he's like, what song do you have prepared? He's like, oh, I don't have a song prepared.
Oh, my
he's
gosh.
Like... Okay, and he sings some random song with, like, a swear word in it. And it's, like, it's super inappropriate. And they're like, okay, like, maybe something else.
Yeah.
So that's the only other thing he can think of. And so he sings that. And I guess they're like, that's what we want for Bumper.
I think that was one of, that happens, like, in other things, too. Like they're so, like, the they, what, oh, my gosh, what am I saying? How they audition is so like cohesive with the character, even though they're not trying for it to be, that they just go with it and it just
they
works.
They took it. I'm so glad though. I can't picture anyone else as Bumper.
No, he does a really good job.
He killed it.
He does.
We didn't really talk about Bumper at all.
No, we didn't. I'm gonna talk about him a little bit later in my fun facts. Okay, my next fun fact actually is that Fat Amy and Bumper, their whole plot of their relationship was not written into the first movie. It was improvised.
That's awesome. Like, that's... Because, like... Oh, my goodness. Ooh. That's actually, like, one of my favorite parts of the movie, too, is seeing, like, Fat Amy and Bumper. Like, they're, like, flirting, but they're doing it, like...
It's mean. It's,
like,
yes.
It's kind of mean. It's like oh, like I hate the way you look in that skirt. Like, oh my God, like your clothes look so terrible on you right now. It's like, I hate when you talk to me. It's like, I hate when you look at me. And then they're like... Like, do you want to come over later? And she's like, yeah, I do.
I think it's the second movie, and there's that whole scene with, like, her going across the lake in the canoe. That's so funny. Me and my sister love that scene.
We belong. That's all you're getting singing-wise
from you guys. It was good. I loved it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so that whole thing was improvised, which that's is, like, actually crazy. Good on them, because, like, I think it just...
It adds so much to it,
though. It does. It enriches it, definitely. Okay, my next fun fact is, in the first movie, Aubrey's vomit.
Mm-hmm.
She vomits in, like, the... I think it's just the intro of the movie.
Yeah.
At her performance with the Bellas before, like, the next Bellas group. And then, again... in their, like, rehearsals, and the vomit was made out of a mixture of pineapple juice, tomato juice, and chicken noodle soup.
Ew.
That is so gross.
Ew. Do you think she tasted it? Like, do you think she, like, she got to try it before they, like, splashed it all over the ground?
I hope not. I hope she didn't have to.
That's really gross. And that one girl had to, like, lay in it, too. Like, Lily.
She had to do, like, her snow angels in it. She does a
snow angel in the vomit, and it's disgusting.
No. Oh, my gosh.
But, oh, my goodness. No, that's ew.
It's gross.
All right.
I don't want to know what, like, it would smell like, mm-mm, either. Like, mm-mm.
What's our last fact?
Our last fun fact is that in the first movie, when Becca and Jesse are talking, she's talking about how she hasn't seen the endings of a lot of movies because she always predicts them.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, like, oh, you've never seen the end of Star Wars, like one of the Star Wars movies. And she says, no, it's so obvious the ending because Vader, like Darth Vader, means father in German.
Mm-hmm.
And it spoils the ending because, like, Darth Vader is Luke's father, and that's a whole plot twist. That's not true.
What?
So Vader means, it does not mean father in German. It means father in Dutch, and it's pronounced way differently.
Oh.
So I don't know. They just kind of made it up a little bit.
They had the fact, and somebody heard it somewhere, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll put that in without, like, double-checking it at all.
No, didn't even, like, put it into Google Translate or anything.
That was, like, a strong point, too.
It really was. Like,
she ate up that line, too.
Yeah, she did. She was like, literally means father in German. But no, she was wrong. She was wrong. I like how that also implies that she, like, knows a lot of German, too.
Yeah. Where did she learn that from? And she's doing her little music stuff. She's studying languages as well.
Yes, apparently. Mm. I don't even remember what she was majoring in. It's probably not even mentioned.
Was it, like, music? Was it law? Or maybe it was, like, business and economics.
It was probably something.
Because her dad wanted her to be, like, successful, but she wanted to do music. It was a big thing.
Yeah. Those are my fun facts. I enjoyed them. I thought they were good. Yeah.
A few other things that we have on our list to talk about. We already talked about Jesse. Chloe gets, like, a romance in the end.
She does.
Which I actually think is really cute.
I liked it,
despite how, like, much I ship Chloe and Becca.
Chloe and Becca.
I do think the romance is cute. Like, it's not, like, in your face. It's kind of just
It's true.
Like, it's a little, like, it's just, like, a little tiny subplot. Like, a minor subplot. Like, it's barely in there, but it's, like, it's adorable. She gets with, do you remember the guy's name? I don't remember.
Chicago. Because she makes, like, a joke about it. I don't remember what it is, but she makes a joke about his name being Chicago.
Oh, my God. He's in the military, and... He looked at her. I remember they had a scene.
He looked at her. Oh, my gosh. He looked at her.
Like, it was so sweet.
That is the basis of every relationship. He looked at her.
Eye contact.
Yes.
That's the key. That's how you get attention. That's how it starts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Starts with a look.
Just a look.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're on Love is Blind.
I haven't seen that.
It's a show.
It's a show. Okay.
We will not be covering Love is Blind on this radio show.
I'm okay with that.
I watched season one, and that was all.
That was enough.
Yeah. The last thing that we haven't talked about really in depth is, like, Emily as a character, but we kind of touched over it. So, Emily, she's great. She's awesome. She's beautiful. She's also made fun of a lot. There's so much, Pitch Perfect is such a raw comedy. Like, it's so funny. Like, you're watching it, and it's like, you think it's just like it's a musical, right? But no, it is so flipping funny. Especially, like, Fat Amy. Emily's last name is Junk, too. And she's like...
Oh, there's so many jokes about that.
So many jokes. She comes in, and she's like, my name's Emily Junk, and Fat Amy's literally just does not care. And then Cynthia Rose comes up and she goes, what'd you say about your junk? And she's like,
oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, my gosh. I do remember that.
Oh, my goodness. And, like, The first movie obviously has the best humor, but I think the second one does a really good job with that too.
They did a really good job of maintaining that throughout. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of movies, like especially like in comedy of that kind, the first one's good, mm-hmm. and then there's so much success, and then they go with the second one, and then it's not good, and they don't continue with it.
The jokes feel really forced.
The second one. But they had like three good, really good movies, and it was strong throughout. Like they did a really good job of that.
It's like, I saw the first Pitch Perfect movie like once or twice because my sister watched it and I was there when she watched it, and I was so young.
Right.
So I was like, I wasn't like there to see it, you know? Yeah. Like it wasn't my thing. I was just kind of in the room. And then I saw the third one in theaters, and then I watched the second one.
Really?
I saw the third one in theaters, literally not, like, hardly remembering what happened in the first one.
Yeah.
And then, like, from there, I watched literally all of them, like, on repeat, like, so many times. But I was so young when the first one came out that it was, like, it wasn't my thing, you know? Mm-hmm. I was still on Disney Channel watching my Disney movies. I wasn't getting the jokes, you know? So then I saw the third one in theaters without having seen any of the other ones, and then... We, like, circled back. I watched the second one, and then I was like, it was love. It blossomed.
I don't remember if I saw any of them in theaters. I don't think I did, but I would have loved to. If it's, like, screening again, like, I'm going to see Pitch Perfect in theaters. Like,
I want them to do that. Like, let's do, like, movie theaters. Like, can we do, like, a throwback day? Like, yes. Where you guys, like, play old movies?
Yes. Like, I think they do that, but it's always, like, morning shows and stuff, and I don't want to get up in the morning to do that.
Like, give us a Wednesday, mm-hmm. like, at the cinema. Like, you have, like, 2 weeks and put some movies on there. Like,
yeah,
you can switch up the movies every couple weeks and just, like, screen some old movies. Like,
especially there's, like, months where there's no movies that are, like good movies that are mm-hmm. playing. And I'm like, you know what? I would go see a movie that I've already seen before to get that in-theater experience, definitely.
Movies. Like, watching movies in theaters is just, like, a whole nother
thing. It is. I remember, like, during COVID, and there was, they were releasing a lot of things on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't the same. So a lot of the movies that came out at that time, I'm like, it's good, but it's not, like, as good as the other ones. Yeah.
Anyways, we are at the end of our show, guys. Oh my gosh, that hour flew by.
It did.
I have to say, this is probably one of my favorite shows that we've done.
Oh, my gosh.
If it was the music, if it was, the topic, I like the flow we had going on here, too.
It was good. I think it was good.
But, no, I, like, really enjoyed this one. I think I'm adding all these songs to my playlist.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, I forgot how good these songs were. Like, I just want to listen to them.
But I thought maybe we could go out with Toxic.
Yes.
So they
what, with a bang?
In the third movie, they mm-hmm. get kidnapped by Fat Amy's evil dad.
Yep.
And to distract him, while Fat Amy is literally doing, like, taekwondo downstairs yeah. and fighting all these people in this boat.
I love that sing whole, Toxic. I loved her whole backstory. Like, it just, oh my gosh. It was
Patricia?
So
Fat Patricia?
Yes. So, Turnip Top?
So Fat Amy's literally, like, absolutely destroying all these people downstairs. Like, she makes, like, a toaster bomb or something.
Yeah, she does.
And, like, blows the ship up. They're singing Toxic, which is supposed to be, like, a loud song to distract this creep of a guy. And, like, Becca appears out of nowhere. She's like, let's go, like, let's sing one last song.
Yeah. So and they look at her like, what?
Let's go out with a bang and play one last song.
Yes.
Before I play, everybody, drive safe. I love you. Have a good night, and we will see you on the next show. Bye. Bye.